5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Allo Communications Studios, I'm Brady Hull. Joined from the other side of the glass, Angel, 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 Angel. A lot of different cool names there.
All of the above.
They called you Eagle today, which I'm kind of digging.
It's not bad.
I think that's a good name. I want to have a nickname
wings,
like that.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wing-ish things. I have wings tattoo. So.
If the Dolphins don't get to 500, which is your bet, you have that's right. Okay. I think you're going to do the Mohawk thing. You should do the Hawk thing from Cobra Kai.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe a little teal aqua color in there. Make it look fun. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to, make it fun.
You could get that. I mean, I don't even know how that works, but you could.
I don't know how he does it.
I don't know how he does it. But a lot of product.
You can find someone.
Just get a lot of product and stick it up there.
It would only be for like a day, but.
How long do you have to wear the Mohawk?
I don't know. Tanner said I have to wear it the rest of my life, apparently.
I think Tanner.
I said if I'm going to do it, I'll do it for maybe a couple days, see how it looks.
Tanner makes the rules on the fly with all of his stuff.
I didn't even sign up for this.
No.
I was just in the office when you guys were talking about it.
And then he made you do stuff. And then he changes the bet halfway through.
Yeah.
And then he wants to change other people's bets. And he's unfair. It's a very unfair, one-sided thing. Poor Brian, poor Angel, every morning. Good morning, NoCo. Okay, dude, so I go out to CSU practice today, which is just crazy because I got to be there at 9. And I'm usually, I think I got in my car at like 10. And I set up parking. We have to do parking through the park app and all that stuff. Normally, places you go, media is covered with parking. Not that Colorado State, apparently. So you have to pay, whatever it is, $1 an hour or something like that to park. It's fine. It's whatever. I get out to my car and there's parking citation. And then there's this woman following me trying to get my parking spot. So she's waiting for me. Very nice. But still, I'm like, I can't. I got to grab this. I got to get out of the car, go grab the parking citation, get back in. So she's waiting. And there's another car coming in. It was just chaos. But luckily, Angel, they know who I am, right? So I go to check. I go to check an email and say, hey, stop it. I filled this out. I'm a media member. And it said, it's void. It's gone. It's bye-bye. It's out of here.
They don't mess around with parking on college campuses.
Dude, they're like...
Those spots are exclusive.
Oh, my gosh. That's the biggest ripoff in college, is parking.
They make you pay for it.
You got to pay to park to go to class that you pay for and all this other stuff, man. I just... anyway, so I got that resolved because they know me, right? Actually, I think the Park Mobile app is for anybody, but they knew me. It was quick. They're like, oh, we cannot piss this dude off. But I'm out at CSU practice, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and say that I walk away with some insightful stuff. It's wide receivers running routes, quarterbacks throwing footballs, practicing kick return a little bit, and then we stay for 45 minutes and we got to leave.
They in pads?
They're in pads, yeah. They're not in, they were in shorts.
Shells
today. Shorts and Clay goes for the pants, like the workout pants.
Interesting.
He doesn't go for shorts. That's really what I take away.
Skip leg day?
I don't know. So I never wear shorts because I skip leg day. And actually, even when I try to make leg day, nothing happens, so I give up on it.
Just hurts.
No progress.
Can't walk.
I'm old. I'm like, I don't need to have shredded calves.
I don't need Saquon thighs.
I don't need Saquon. What am I going to do with those? What am I going to do? I exercise to stay in shape. I don't need Saquon thighs. I don't need that. Clay's a pants guy. Tory Horton, he's a shorts guy. Had his helmet off a little bit on the sidelines. Tanner Arkin, the Fossil Ridge kid, is a beast of a man. Shorts, just regular looking stuff. What else? Any other questions about practice today?
What was the weather like?
It was hot. Felt like I needed sunscreen. As soon as I walk out, because during fall camp, they started at like 6:45, which is perfect. I'm a morning guy. You are now too, Angel. And I loved it because it's nice and cool. But outside of that, it's been pretty hot. You pull in at 9 o'clock and it's hot. Although it's not as hot as UNC's practice. They practice 3. It's very hot. Need a lot of sunscreen there. What else? What else you got for me?
What color jerseys do the offense and defense guys wear?
God, I think it's just white and green.
And I'm trying quarterbacks to think. Wear red.
Quarterbacks are orange.
Orange.
Quarterbacks are orange. Yep. Quarterbacks are orange.
Okay.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
What music was blaring when I walked in? AC/DC. They were getting after some. They have a healthy assortment of mix music there. Like there's rap, some old school rap, like Snoop Dogg's blaring in the parking lot. AC/DC's going. It's, I mean, again, that's what. And then I give you an update. I stand next to Kevin Lytle. And we talk about the same stuff we're going to be talking about probably tomorrow. So
you're getting these important details.
These are important details that if it weren't for me, people would not know what's going on with CSU. So I don't stay for the audio portion to get in it because, like, I mean, I'm on the air right now. This is when they're talking to the media. So high energy. I want to hear, like, what they're playing, like, the crowd noise and stuff. I would love to hear that and kind of feel what that atmosphere is like, but we don't get to watch them kind of scrimmage each other at that point because it's just too much you can take away.
What's the sense that you got? Was it, you know, excited, nervous, anxious, just ready to go play? Or
smiles, dancing around, music's going. Like, Torrey Horton is a big, like, in between reps. He's, you know, he's dancing it out a little bit. Tanner Arkin's more like serious football. He's a big dude. I'll be curious to see how they use him. Here's what Kevin and I were talking about. We're going to elaborate on this tomorrow on our segment. Also, Rams Weekly, which airs at 5 o'clock on Thursdays. Kevin kind of is of the mindset. We're going to see, not a completely different, but this is going to be a different style against Michigan than we're going to see the rest of the year. Meaning they might run the ball more on Saturday. Trying to slow things down a little bit. Because we talked about that the other day, right? That maybe you want to be careful here because if Michigan's going running all over the place scoring and you're CSU, let's say you're driving quickly, maybe you score, maybe you don't, but you're putting your defense back on there. CSU's not going to be one of those teams that can run out the clock. I don't believe from everything that I've heard and read and interviewed and all that stuff. But Kevin kind of brought that up today and we're talking about it and he's saying, hey, you might. I said, hey, what's the over-under traditional runs from the running backs in this game? Not like a screenplay or anything like that. And he said, more than you'd think. And so, of course, we're talking about it. And I said, so you think they kind of want to try to slow things down a little bit in this game? He said, that's what he's predicting. Not necessarily that he's getting that from anybody. But that's an interesting concept. You know, you're going up against Michigan. You don't want to put the ball in McNamara's hand or JJ or whoever it's going to be. You want to keep the possession as long as you can. And my guess, CSU for the rest of the season, after that, it's going to be, I don't know. Would you be surprised if they average 15 carries a game? Everything we're hearing about Fort Air Raid, they're going to air it out, man.
No, I like this approach in that it's a new system. Obviously, it's a pass-favorable system. But in order for your passes to work, you got to get the running game going. And that's got to be enough of a threat against defenses that you can respect it, but knowing, okay, this team's going to throw it on us. They're going to try to throw everything they can. We need to watch out for runs.
Yeah.
They might pop one off.
And maybe. Yeah, I think it might be the complete opposite of Air Force. Like, you throw so much that you don't really expect a draw up the middle or something like that. But I do think that this team, like, it's going to be pass to set up the pass. You might see some shorter stuff, like a lot of those little bubble screens. I know those are Tanner Schwinn's favorite plays, and you might see a lot of that stuff on Saturday. So you don't walk away from that game writing if you take notes or whatever you do to watch games. I know some people do. I mean, diehard Rams fans will do that. They'll sit down and chart it out, chart the plays. I don't think this is going to be the full look of what we will see as they progress through the regular season. So, yeah. As far as the energy goes, I mean, they seem cool. They seem happy. Everybody's upbeat. It doesn't feel like it's necessarily, from my 45 minutes out there, there's no way of me walking away going, oh, they're ready. They are preparing for Michigan. They are thinking of Michigan right now. There's no way of me really deciphering that. It's not quiet, you know, Coach Norvell. Coach Norvell's fun to watch, though. He's so, everything he does is on purpose, man. Everything. The way he walks. He just commands the football field. He's a fun guy to watch. You know, normally I don't watch coaches. They just stand there typically, scratch their chin and look at stuff. But Norvell's sprinting all over the place, and it's going to be fun, man. I'm ready to get the Michigan. I'm excited for the Michigan game, but I don't think that that's like the first chapter of Fort Air Raid. I think that that is it's the prelude or something like that.
Sure. I'm just imagining the home opener, Canvas Stadium. If it's full, great, but that energy there is just going to be off the charts.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what the ticket sales look like, because it's not like the most attractive home schedule in the history of the world.
What do they open with at home?
I'm just getting ready to look, because I knew you were. Is it Middle Tennessee?
Middle Tennessee,
yeah. I think it's Middle Tennessee. Yep, Middle Tennessee. I'll be at that game in the media booth. You know, obviously, Angel. I like watching the game as a fan way more, though, because I just sit there. Writers have stuff to write about. They got to get their stories going. I'm tweeting. I can do that with a beer in my hand, watching the game in the stands.
Sure.
So that's way more fun for me, a radio guy. Radio guys, you want to take in the experience.
All about the sound for us.
Yeah, sound, excitement, all that. Yeah, I think they don't sell it out against Middle Tennessee, do they? Do they sell Canvas Stadium out? What does that hold, 45,000? Maybe. Maybe they do. Then they get Sacramento State. That's the other home game. So that's the fourth game, but the second home game. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Broncos got their 53-man roster set, so we'll get into that. We'll get a clip from you from George Payton talking about the decision to keep Brett Rypien. And Angel, I wish I would have been a little more aggressive on my stance on this, because I know you're not going to believe me, but I felt like it was Brett Rypien the whole time. I did. Zach, my guy, Zach Stevens, I felt like led me astray on Monday by saying it was Josh Johnson, and I believed the guy. But I felt like if you were to ask me before I interviewed Zach on Monday, I would have said, I think it's going to be Brett. I don't think the pick is going to be enough to go away from. I mean, if both guys are kind of even, what do I always say? Go with the younger guy. He has more potential. And if, heaven forbid, Russell Wilson and the Broncos, for some weird reason, don't get a new contract figured out, then maybe you look at Brett and go, is that somebody? And again, this is that whole point is moot. They're going to get a deal done with Russell Wilson. But I just, the what ifs are more obvious to me with Brett Rypien. Josh Johnson, good dude, good locker room guy. But you already have that in your quarterback. You don't need two good dude, good locker room guys. I'm not saying Brett's a bad dude. But everything you hear about Josh Johnson is everybody loves him. He's a good leader. People know him and blah, blah, blah. Well, you got that in Russell. You don't need necessarily the other guy. Who's the better quarterback? Who's got more upside? And it's Brett Rypien. Josh Johnson might very well be back on the practice squad, though. And then you could look at the situation if Russell goes down against a certain team, week 4, 5, 6, whatever, and you could say, is Brett ready? Or do we call up Josh Johnson from the practice squad? Because, like, if you're a team, right, like Dallas, and we'll get into the story, Dallas cut all their quarterbacks except for Dak. Who would Dak go after if they were available off of waivers? Brett Rypien or Josh Johnson? They might look at a Brett Rypien. I think Brett Rippin's more attractive to teams because, again, the youth thing has something to it. And he's obviously survived this long and he had a really good college career. So I just think that for so many reasons, Rypien makes the most sense as your backup quarterback. It's funny we're talking about this, though. I mean, it's just funny because for the past 6 years, Joe Flacco, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, I mean, Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian,
Chad Kelly,
Mark Sanchez was there for a second in training camp. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Drew Locke, how could we forget him? So it has been a tough go for Denver. And I don't think anybody ever felt good about Trevor Siemian or good about Paxton Lynch. Like, Paxton Lynch was supposed to be the future, but everything we heard from the get-go was that football is not his number one priority. He's still, like, in college mode. And so I don't think the Broncos started a season. I mean, tell me honestly, were you excited about Joe Flacco, even though John Elway said he was in his prime?
No.
Nobody's excited about Joe Flacco. Even when he was good, nobody was excited about Joe Flacco. Case Keenum? What?
Joe Flacco's elite.
Was he ever elite?
No.
That one run when they won the Super Bowl, he played lights out in the playoffs. And of course, he had the play we don't speak of over the head of what's his face?
That
I know his
guy.
Yeah, I don't want to say his name because I really liked him, and then that play kind of ended it for him. That was bad. But we just never were excited about this. So this year we go in, and it's not the decision anymore. It's not Vic Fangio, go toss a coin. It's none of that stuff. It's who's the backup, and you don't care about the backup until you have to care about the backup, and that's what we want. Today is probably the last day we'll really talk about it, and then you move on, and it's done. So, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly today. And I've been scrambling. I just got in like 20, 30 minutes ago, getting into prep mode, getting everything going. So you're going to give me my bad story today. I've got an ugly one, but it's more of just, you know, the overall big picture of the NFL. How about this? The Rockies last night, they find a way. They beat the Atlanta Braves. And they win 3-2. They've won two in a row. Don't look now. They're working on that 72-win season. That's what they're working on. They're 56-74. And there you go. You got a bad story for me? Or a weird story?
Yeah, this came out a couple days ago that I saw. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers said he played an NFL game after using Percocet for pain.
Ooh.
This was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast that he did, talking about some of the stuff he does in his off season and just weird stuff. He said he played on Percocet. It was more for pain management. He wasn't taking a high dosage, but stupid, ultimately. He had knee issues for a long time, takes anti-inflammatories, and sometimes you just need something a little stronger.
Aaron Rodgers has just come out with some wacky stories.
Weird dude.
But we've seen more weirdness like the last, what, two seasons?
Because since this whole thing with him in the front office, he just says whatever he wants.
He just says whatever, whenever. I mean, again, I'll never forget him last year calling out Green Bay and listing off the players they screwed up with. Like, imagine that. Here's your quarterback up here saying, I didn't like how they handled this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Didn't like what they did here. Didn't like. I think that was part of the agreement. You let me do this or I'm not re-signing with you guys. That was a weird deal. And then, just keep hearing weirder stories from him. Here's my ugly story, okay? And I've just been thinking about this more and more. Former Vegas Raiders coach, of course, John Gruden, he spoke yesterday at an event. It was called the Little Rock Touchdown Club in Arkansas. He said he was going to be honest with everybody and talk. Here's John Gruden a little bit about that, and then I'll give you my piece on it, why I think today is that puts us in the ugly side of the good, the bad, the ugly.
I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot.
You think he's going to get another shot?
I find it difficult, given just his stretch in Oakland, Las Vegas, when he came back from coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't end the way it wanted to, but that whole situation was just weird, and it doesn't seem like he could be the coach. He's more of a personality that the NFL could use if they wanted to bring him back that way.
This is why it's ugly. Is what he did worse than what Deshaun Watson allegedly did? And maybe that's the key word, allegedly. But Deshaun Watson is allowed to play for the Cleveland Browns, make damn good money doing it, and Gruden has been written off, cast away, because of emails. And they were, a lot of contained racist stuff, anti-gay stuff, misogynistic stuff. I mean, you can argue till you're blue in the face whether or not he should have been fired or what have you. You talk to a lot of former NFL guys, older guys, and they're like, not that it's right, but this was the language everybody used. Everybody talked like this. And so Gruden just put in an email for him. I don't know if he'll get a shot. Who do you trust the guy? Can he lead the team? I mean, hell, we had Jack Del Rio say the word dust up and got fined $100,000. I mean, what's the NFL trying to accomplish with this? I mean, Jack Del Rio gets punished, fined a lot. Gruden's gone. He's written, cast off into an NFL exile land. And Deshaun Watson is going to play and, you know, 75% of the way through the season. He will be playing football for the Cleveland Browns.
I think some of it could be attributed to, and I don't know exactly how their process is, but with the NFLPA, they are supporting the players. The players can feel supported by an outside organization that wants the best interest for them. With coaches and, you know, higher members of that kind of staff, does that punishment and judgment fall directly to the NFL?
Yeah. This is, again, why everything that the NFL does, they are very inconsistent with everything. And that's why it's been so frustrating seeing their suspensions and the way they do things. This texter from the 970, apologies that immediately include an empathetic but are always sincere. Air quotes, Brian. Yeah, I get that. I'm not sitting here saying and making excuses thinking any of those emails were okay. I do just ask myself, you know, I am asking the question, should he have been written off like that? Maybe. Maybe so. But why do guys that commit actual crimes and then they do their time or whatever and they're able to come back? Michael Vick was allowed to, I mean, he went to prison for 2 years for everything going on with that dog thing. Came back and played football. I mean, and I didn't disagree. I said, hey, did his time. Maybe he's a better man for it. Maybe not. I don't know the man. Seemed to be. And then he played football for a few years after that. It's just, isn't it strange if you stop and think about it sometimes? Guys that commit crimes or alleged crimes, which again, Cleveland ownership and management are coming out saying Deshaun Watson needs to be reformed. They're saying it, so they're admitting it. That's admitting it. I'm sorry, but it is. Deshaun's still maintaining his innocence, but also saying he needs to learn from it. That whole thing is weird. But we can all assume that the majority of the NFL powers that be believe Deshaun Watson did all these things. And yet Gruden, not great emails, nasty emails, racist emails, whatever, is gone. It's, again, this country sometimes is peculiar to me because it's like, say something that could be construed as racist, you're done, or sexist, or whatever. But do something illegal or be accused of it or whatever, and we'll see. How good a football player are you? I mean, the fact that Deshaun Watson, this whole settlement happened and he will be playing football this year, is still a big-time fail. It is. Texter here, the players have a union, coaches don't. Watson absolutely should be gone. That decision is going to really burn the Browns. It sure feels like it, man. There's no good that can come from this. I mean, Angel, let's say the Browns go win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. Is that even good? I mean, is everybody, you know what that's going to do? It's going to just highlight it even more. Wow, look at this guy that was accused of sexually assaulting 24, 23 women. And yeah, there were settlements and all that stuff, but the ownership and the management are admitting that he needs to be reformed. He needs to seek counseling and get some help for his behavior. They're just going to bring it up and say, wow, this guy was allowed to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would not be celebrated.
No.
Probably not even in Cleveland. Yeah, it would be their first, but that's how you want to win your first Super Bowl?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's almost like, dude, I'd rather just keep taking my chances. Did you see Baker Mayfield coming out against, talking about previewing the, you know, we got a break here, but talking about the game coming up against Cleveland?
Take the over in that one.
Baker, what did he say? We're going to beat the, or I, he said, I'm going to beat.
He said we.
Did he say we?
I think he said we.
He said we. Oof. Oof. You like that? Is it good? It seemed like they were all.
It seems like that's just Baker's personality. He's just that bold, cocky quarterback that just going to go out there and play ball against the team that kind of quit on him.
I personally like it because, Angel, I'm always telling you, I like No, he says I'm. He says I'm going to F them up, which to me is a little.
He's going to pass, catch, run, and block.
Yeah. Do you want to give bullet board material to Myles Garrett? Is that a good idea?
I mean, it's Cleveland, so kind of just kicking someone while they're down.
Yeah,
a bit.
I don't know. Well, that's week one, right? Those two are going out of week one. Boy, the NFL knows what they're doing when it comes to scheduling. It's crazy. Russell's going to Seattle. Baker's going to be playing against Cleveland. It's nuts. 30 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about the Gruden thing a little bit more. Should he be given a second chance? Would you sign off on that, Hulligans? But we'll take a break first. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy Live from the Allo Communication Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communication Studios. Chris in Fort Fun texting, and thing is, Gruden was pretty average in his return to coaching. Time for him to move on and give other guys the chance to make their mark. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, what did he really do with the Raiders? You could argue that he kind of helped set the table for the team that made the playoffs last year. But, you know, outside of that Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, was that 2001? Or what year was that? Was that 2001 or 2? Is it that long ago? Oh, my goodness. No concept of time. I suppose so. I mean, he's a big personality. He was really good on Monday Night Football back in the day. Do you think you said that at the beginning, Angel. Do you think he finds his way back into a booth of some kind?
I think when I hear Gruden, you think of, not to compare him to John Madden, but he's one of those names that is just associated with the NFL. He did his quarterback school for so long, and that was really popular. He's got a good personality. He knows the game really well. He could be, you know, maybe not a game broadcaster, but maybe like an analyst or a sideline reporter or something.
I mean, who knows? It just depends. I mean, I guarantee it won't be ESPN. I can guarantee you that, man. It won't be ESPN. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I love when we get these texts, too. Because you guys make the show better. Oh, this is a long one. Dixon bringing it in. As times have changed and we all have learned to become more sensitive to different things, we forget that in the past, it was kind of acceptable to use certain words and tell certain jokes that are no longer PC. If we're honest with ourselves in the past, we may have all used words that are now considered inappropriate. Gruden stuff was from years ago, and when he worked for ESPN, it's not really an excuse, but you can see how things may have been more acceptable back then. As well as we all grow every day and keep learning to be more sensitive about stuff. Maybe his past transgressions and attitude and use of certain terms or words shouldn't be a death sentence. I think we would all ask for a second chance if some of the skeletons in our own closets in the past were made public. Very well said, Dixon. Very well said. Yeah, you don't even get the arch nemesis song for that. You get Susan and Cheryl applauding. That's a good text. I kind of see where Chris is going, though, too. It's kind of like, all right, but was he that good as a head coach? Is he to the point where you must have this guy? I don't know. Probably not. But it's just weird you cast him out.
Yeah, I pulled up his record from an Oakland. He got there in 2018. They went 4-12, 7-9, 8-8, and then 3-2 last year when he resigned after week 5.
And then that team ended up going on. I mean, yeah, it's not like he came in and was a great coach. In fact, that record probably says he was more of a bad coach at that point. But I agree. I think being cast out completely from sports and from football is interesting when you see some of the players getting chances. And I get it. The NFL loves their players. They love their quarterbacks. They love their quarterbacks, that's for sure. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shout out to Cable's Pub and Grill. Love that place. They are in West Greeley, and they've been around for quite a while now. Locally owned and operated. They've been doing things since 1972. Love the specials we talk about. Today, it's Wednesday, $3 pints. $7.99 personal pizzas up to 3 toppings along with those $3 pints. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here. From the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. 38 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Let's get a check on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
I just tweeted out my takeaway from practice with Clay deciding not to wear shorts but going with sweatpants. And it's amazing. People are actually commenting. They're like, dude, how hot was it out there? Hope you didn't get too warm. This one says, hey, makes the post ice bath even better. You know, you never know when a tweet's going to take off. And dynamite reporting like what I provide to the Hooligans, you just never know. They value it, man. It's a big deal.
You're a popular guy on Twitter.
You got to tweet it out. I have those takes, and it's something I noticed. Now, in fairness, every time I've seen Clay, he has been in the sweats in practice.
Does he have legs?
He does have legs. He's a tall dude, pretty tall dude. How about this, Angel? I might give you a guess here. If you guess it right, I'm giving you that roll of tape over there. His dad, we talked to Hugh Millen last week. Who did Hugh Millen, who was his first college football start against in his career? Think about it. Think about why that might...
Can I ask where he played?
He played at Washington.
Okay.
Think about why that might be significant.
Was it Michigan?
It was Michigan.
No way.
Guess who the quarterback was?
Tom Brady?
Harbaugh.
Oh.
Kevin, in fairness, Kevin Lytle told me all this today. I get most of my real information from Kevin.
So I should be talking to Kevin, right?
Yeah, talk to Kevin. He'll be on tomorrow. We'll get the real information from him. They won. Washington won. So I don't know. Maybe that's something.
I think you're pushing something there.
Maybe something's happening. Like, if they beat Michigan, is Jay's the head coach of the Broncos tomorrow or Sunday?
I build him a statue on campus first.
If the Rams beat the Wolverines on Saturday, are you building a Jay Norvell statue? I think you absolutely, or at least of his mustache.
I would say maybe a mural of his mustache.
Yeah,
as a start.
Yeah,
get people to go sign it and fill it in.
They need to give those out at games. Your Norvell mustache. There's a Twitter account. I don't know if it's still active, but it's just Jay Norvell's mustache.
It's a very nice mustache.
Oh, my. If I could grow a mustache like that, I would absolutely have a mustache. No, and although I may have to have a mustache if the Broncos don't make the playoffs, that's my portion of the bet that you guys made on Good Morning NoCo.
Found it, yeah. Jay at Norvell's _stash on Twitter.
Is he still following me? I don't know if he is. I hope so. Yeah, he's still following me. Sweet. Cool. Had to figure that one out today. The 53-man roster is set for the Denver Broncos. George Payton talked a little bit about the decision to go with, I suppose he and Nathaniel Hackett's and other members of the coaching staff's decision to go with Brett Rypien as the backup quarterback over Josh Johnson. Here's George.
You know, it was really tough. Brett and Josh had a great competition. It came down to the final game. You know, but the body of work, I mean, it was both these guys did a lot of really good things. I just think the way, Rip operated the offense, the way he moved the team, you know, he did some really good things. And so, you know, I'll let Coach Hackett kind of talk about the rest of that. But it was a really close competition. We hope to get Josh back as well.
So there you go. I mean, that Josh is probably going to be back in some capacity, and that's going to be on that practice squad, but not at least on the 53-man roster at this point. Quarterbacks, you guessed it, Russell Wilson's number one, Brett Rypien. Running backs taken three, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, and Mike Boone. No surprises there. Tight ends, Albert O, Greg Dulcich, who's hurt. His hamstring injury is still there, so he's been placed on injured reserve. Andrew Beck, who will be kind of a fullback tight end combo, and Eric Saubert. So there's your tight ends. You're taking four receivers. Cortland Sutton, Judy Hamler, Montrell Washington. Very excited about him. Circle that name. Tyree Cleveland and Jalen Virgil. Cleveland hasn't practiced since August, listed as a throat injury, but he won't be placed on injured reserve today. So there you go. Offensive lineman, nine. Nothing crazy there. Garrett Bowles, Dalton Reisner, Lloyd Cushenberry, Quinn Miners, Billy Turner, Calvin Anderson, Cam Fleming, Graham Glasgow, who did make the cut. Like, we thought maybe he was going to get cut. And then Luke Wattenberg. On the defensive side, 26 players. D lineman, DJ Jones, Draymond Jones, Deshaun Williams, Uwazurke, I can never say his name right. Uwazurke, there it is. And Matt Henningsen. He beat out McTelvin Aguim, so that, you know, shows you what they think of him, because I thought Aguim had a pretty good preseason. Inside linebackers, they're carrying four. Josie Jewell, Jonas Griffith, Justin Sternad, and Alex Singleton. Griffith, is he going to be available by week one? I don't know. According to the Denver Post, he should be ready by week one. Outside linebackers, six. Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, Baron Browning, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, and Aaron Patrick. Now, Malik Reed, we talked about yesterday, was traded to Pittsburgh. I'm very excited about this group. Now, Bradley Chubb has a lot to prove, but at the end of the day, he's a big dude. He's a freak of nature. He's a heck of an athlete. Can he still be a good big-time player in the NFL? He had a, when I say still, keep in mind, his rookie year was really, it was really the year. But I'm excited to see what Randy Gregory can do, Baron Browning, and then the rookie Nick Benito. Cornerbacks, Patrick Surtain, Ronald Darby, Kawan Williams, Sang Bassey, Damari Mathis, and Michael Ojemudia. However, Ojemudia, along with Dulcich, is going to be placed on injured reserve, but he's expected to be ready by week five. Safeties, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, Caden Stearns, P.J. Locke, and DeLaron Turner-Yell. No big shocks there, according to what Zach told us the other day. Brandon McManus did make the team as the kicker. Punter will be Corliss Waitman, which... Little drama there, and we'll get into that later on. And then Bobenmeier, the long snapper, Jacob Bobenmeier. So there you go. Waitman essentially beat out Sam Martin to be the punter. But the contract there, they're saving a lot more money not having Sam Martin, and maybe Waitman was the better punter. So this really worked out well for the Broncos. So there it is. That's the 53-man roster. Feeling good about this team and their quest to get back into the playoffs. Is this the year they do it? Do they have a strong enough supporting cast with Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson and Justin Simmons were the only guys listed in the NFL's top 100. I think Simmons was in the 80s. Russell was sitting at 61. Should there have been more? One or two more guys. We'll talk about that. Mark Johnson will join us at 12:05. Do we have a decision on the quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes? They play not tomorrow, Angel. But the next day. That's where we are now. Not tomorrow, but the next day. That's our countdown. The Buffs play on Friday night against TCU. How will they fare?
Yeah, this is our last night with it before a five-day stretch of football.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. I'm so excited. All right, quick break coming up. We'll wrap up the first hour. And again, in the second hour, Mark Johnson, the Lunch Rush. More on the Broncos. My Method Flow Products poll question. A lot of people don't like it. I'll tell you what it is next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The UNC Bears play in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
.11:54 the time. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw, says, hey, good start to the show. That text could not have been Dixon, the good text that Dixon came up with. I know. I'm as shocked as anybody. Normally, it's sucking up to the Chiefs or knocking John Elway, but sometimes our guy Dixon, the arch nemesis of the show, yes, that is him, he's kind of famous now. We've made him famous, I think. Or he's made himself famous. He's earned that, right? But, Tommy says, heading to Cables for lunch. Hey, by the way, you get bonus points if you text. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl are on the way. Tommy, are you buying? Because they are, they mooch a lot, man. They don't typically ever have a purse or a wallet or anything. So
they are thirsty.
Yeah, so, Tom, sounds like Susan and Cheryl, you've got their lunch covered. So thank you for that, my friend. I appreciate it. But I love when our texters text us that they are going to one of our sponsors and checking them out, because that's what keeps this show and this station going, is our advertisers that believe in the product that we're putting out, and then you believe in their product too. So if you listen to this show, if you listen to any of the programs on KFK, any of our broadcasts, our game broadcasts, go support those advertisers, because that's what keeps this thing going. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888 888- 530-0043. I text Kevin at the Colorado and I said, dude, I got a ticket. I said, however, it looks like they cleared it. He goes, me too. I sent an email, though. So maybe Kevin hooked us up. Kevin sent an email before backing us up. So I don't know what's going on over there. Don't they know who we are, man? I mean, come on. Do you have to pay for all the time at UNC, too, right?
For parking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All over campus.
That's why I walked everywhere. I had a bike for like 3 months, then it got stolen.
I didn't know that. Your bike got stolen?
It was like freshman year.
Where was it? Was it on campus?
Just on campus.
Was it locked up? And
yeah,
they just came in with
up,
some...
Took it. Wow. Normally, I would see they would just take the front tire for some reason, because that's the only thing you could grab. They took the whole bike.
Did they come in with like bolt cutters or whatever?
No idea. The lock was gone. Everything was gone.
That sucks, man.
I got a
skateboard, so sad.
So it was fine.
Okay. Well, that makes me mad. If you see Angel's bike, describe it real quickly, Angel.
It was blue.
4 years ago. It was blue. If you see a blue bike out there, that's probably Angel's. I want you to tackle the person that's on that bike. Bring it back here. Bring it to the station. I don't care who's on it. If it's a kid, whatever, you do what you got to do. We need that blue bike back. Second hour coming up next, we're going to talk to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.